Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sound Off with Sinkoff. I'm Brian Sinkoff, your host here. Of course, Sound Off with Sinkoff, sponsored by the Sinkoff Realty Group. And we are joined by literally one of my favorite athletes of all time. And I can say that. I've known this guy for almost 20 years. Jimmer Fredette, the Glens Falls legend, former NBA player, and now USA Olympian. Jimmer, what is going on, my man?
I'm doing well, Brian. How are you? It's great to be on the show and to kind of reminisce and see you again.
Yeah, it's awesome. I had Jimmer on the radio show a while ago, and go back a long time, my television days. And you met Zach, my son, when he was real little, and now you got three little ones yourself. First of all, how's the family? How's it like being a dad of three as you live out now in Denver?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, best thing that I've ever done, right? And will continue to do. I have a 7-year-old who's my oldest daughter, Wesley, and then a 5-year-old Taft, and then a almost 2-year-old Grayson, who's also a girl. So my girl, boy, girl, and the house seems full. We got two dogs as well, so we're busy, right? And you know, when I'm gone, Whitney is holding down the fort, and she's incredible at doing it. So it's been a lot of fun to be home with them and just kind of see them grow up and be at their activities and do all these fun things. It's been very rewarding.
Jimmer, of course, for those that don't know, is now a part of the USA Olympic team, the 3-on-3 USA Olympic team. We're going to get into BYU and sort of the Jimmer mania in just a few minutes. But let's talk about how the 3-on-3, how you got involved in that, and then how it morphed into being an Olympian, being part of the U.S. team.
Yeah, so 2021, I was over in China playing my fourth season over in Shanghai, but it was a COVID year. So we go over there, and we were in a bubble for about 6-7 months. It was just at a hotel playing games and then coming home to the hotel afterwards. So I didn't get to see my kids and family for that 6-7 month stretch. So mentally and physically, it was really difficult. And I just needed a break. Honestly, I just needed a break from basketball. So I took about 6 months off and was like, I'm not going back over. And then Fran Fraschilla got connected to me from a mutual friend who's a part of USA 3x3 basketball. Him and Jay Demings called me up. It's like, hey, would you be interested in playing some tournaments in the summertime, 3x3, you know, for Team USA? We're trying to qualify for the Olympics. And, you know, there's a possibility that you could be on the team if you play. And as soon as I heard Olympics, I was like, I'm all in, right? That's an incredible opportunity that most people don't get an opportunity to do, especially at my age, 34, 35 years old, to play basketball in the Olympics. It was definitely something that intrigued me. So I went all in and have started to play about a year and a half ago, and it's been an awesome journey since.
How is it? I mean, obviously the shot clock's basically cut in half. It's half court. It's kind of like street ball a little bit in terms of, you know, that type of flow. How much different is it than the full court, more organized game that you guys play, that you played for so many years?
Yeah, it's definitely different, obviously, for all the things that you just said. We play by twos and ones as well, which is different. You know, continuous play, which is different. You got to play sometimes two and a half minute stretches in a row, and you get tired because it's physical, right? It's more physical than 5-on-5 because they let you get a little bit more handsy and you're able to body up a little bit more. But also just little nuances that you kind of get to know as you go through the process of the actions that they run, the screen, the rescreening. Also defensively, there's no help side. You don't ever help off of your guy to try to help at the basket, usually because they can kick it out for a two and it's worth so much more than the one. It's more important. So just little things that you kind of are used to in 5-on-5 that are different in 3x3. So it takes, you know, several months to feel more comfortable and have it slow down, the game slow down once you get out there, because it is a quick shot clock. That 12 seconds is fast.
Jimmer, you obviously this is a huge dream for you. I mean, any kid in any sport to play in the Olympics, to be part of the Olympics. I know it's a couple of months away and you're prepping now, you know, with the camps and leading up to it. But if you fast forward ahead to that moment, are you going to have to pinch yourself a little bit, you know, the opening ceremonies and things of that nature?
Yeah, it's going to be surreal for sure. I know that for a fact. The opening ceremony is going to be unbelievable just to be where they're there with all the athletes, the best athletes in the world from all over. It's going to be amazing to be able to walk or float, however we're going to do it, whether it's on a boat or actually walking, in Paris is going to be pretty incredible to have that USA on your chest and be able to wear the gear that you see and just kind of go through the whole sequence. So super excited about that. Obviously, once we take the court, I will. Everyone's going to be extremely nervous that first game. I mean, there's no way around it. It's the biggest stage you've ever played on. It's going to be the most nerves you've probably ever felt. But once that ball, is checked up and you're playing, then it just becomes more real, obviously, and becomes a little bit easier once you get out there and start playing.
All right, Jimmer, we go from the Olympic team. Let take me back, 13 years or so. You're a senior at BYU. It's 2011. I mean, Jimmer mania is in full force. What was that like for you? You're Naismith Player of the Year. You lead BYU to the NCAA tournament.
Such a fun time, right? Just only fond memories back at BYU the whole 4 years that I was there. Just met so many great people, have still stayed in contact with today that we, a lot of my teammates, I'm talking with a lot on a weekly basis, sometimes go on vacations with them or see them, when I get back in Utah or different places. So just unique, a unique experience. And just very, very fun. That's the best way to describe it. But that senior year was definitely life changing for me as a basketball player, as a person, and for the legacy to be able to have such a great year and be able to win such prestigious awards that most people, don't get to be a part of was, yeah, it was amazing. I got to meet so many legends of the sports and just kind of be around them and be in their, be in their vicinity, which is, it was really, really cool.
So there's going to be two questions here about that. What do you sort of remember most about that time? And then, you're a little older now, you got kids, grown man, you look back at that time now. Does it feel different, sort of reminiscing about, that back then? Because let's face it, Jimmer, and I know you're like one of the most humble guys I've ever met. That you took over the country, man. I mean, you did. You seriously did. So kind of a two-part question.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I just feel like I remember just BYU Nation kind of supporting us all over the country, wherever we went, right? We even played a game up in Glens Falls my senior year where we played at the Civic Center and it was packed and with BYU blue there's not many BYU fans up in the Northeast normally, but now everyone was a BYU fan. And to be able to do all of these things and be able to have such a great opportunity to play in front of fans all over the country was amazing and truly was worldwide, which was really, really cool. And now looking back on it, it's amazing to see the impact that we had. And just being on ESPN all the time and having a Jimmer tracker and doing all these crazy things that you see, you reminisce on it and be like, wow, that really was like a really big time. And I still get people that come up to me being like, ah, I used to yell your name when I shot, back in high school, and like all of these cool things that you see was it was a special time. And to look back on it now, 13 years removed, you kind of see the magnitude of it, and people never forget. So it's really cool.
So 2011 draft taken by the Bucks and obviously traded to Sacramento. You did play in the league for a few teams. I know obviously at the end of the day, it wasn't the results you wanted in the NBA, but the bottom line is, Jimmer, a kid from Glens Falls, a Section 2 guy, goes from the Foothills Council to the NCAA Tournament Player of the Year and then to the NBA. Take me through your time in the league, the best basketball league in the world.
I mean, that's what I always dreamed about as a kid, right? And I had a lot of people that were, you didn't think that it would be able to happen, right? Just because of where I came from and the way I looked and all these different things, right? The competition that we were playing against, saying it wasn't good enough, all these things that come from being a small town in upstate New York in Glens Falls, right? It's the way that the world works sometimes. But for me, I always had that faith that I could do it and that I was going to do it. And my family was super supportive of me, obviously, throughout the whole process, and just was continuing to work with me and continuing to get better. And I always just felt like it was going to happen. And look back on it, maybe it was a little bit naive of me to think of that when I was super young. But I honestly think that that's the reason why I was able to do it, because I didn't have a plan B. And kind of spoke it into existence, and then a lot of hard work and a lot of good fortune along the way.
Jimmer, I will pull this up here, and we can take a look at the contract that you had your brother TJ had you sign. What? Tell me about this. What grade were you in, and sort of how did this come about? And then you ended up fulfilling the contract, which was unbelievable.
It was really cool. I mean, my mom and my brother, my family have always been a real big proponent of good visualization and goal writing and those different things. So I remember when I was younger, being ingrained in that. And I know when TJ brought that to me in high school, I was going into high school, and he brought the contract. We go play up at our church all the time, right? That's where we practice most of the time. And I was shooting, and he's like, "Keep shooting, do your thing." And then after that, he walked away, got a piece of paper, wrote some stuff down, then came over and was like, "Hey, Jimmer, I want you to look at this contract." And obviously, as you can see what it says there. And I remember the first contract I wrote down, or we wrote down Jimmer, T for debt. And he like ripped it up, and he's like, "Nope, we can't do that. It's got to be an official contract. It's got to have your real name on it." So he went back and wrote James T for that instead of Jimmer, and was like, "All right, this is the official contract. I want you to read it. And I want you to sign it if you believe that it's going to be true. And then I want you to put it up over your bed so that every single night you see that when you go to bed and when you wake up." And that's what I did. I woke up, and I went to bed looking at that, woke up looking at that. And it just was a reminder of every day that's what I wanted to do. It was the main goal. And I'd be daydreaming about it in class probably most of the time, which is the way it works. So it's powerful. Writing down goals are powerful.
So you go through the NBA, then you end up going to China, a couple of years before COVID. You were I mean, really revered in China. You set all sorts of scoring records, led the league in scoring. What was that experience like for you? Because you were alone out there in China, physically, probably even a little mentally, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a bittersweet situation. I love the basketball aspect of it, right? It was perfect for me. They said, "Hey, Jimmer, I want you to get the ball, and I want you to be you every single time down the court," right? Whatever that was, that possession. But I had the ball in my hands all the time. That's what I feel most comfortable doing. And when I have that, I can make the right play and be aggressive and shoot and pass and do all the things that have made me throughout my career. So on the court, it was amazing. My teammates were great. Shanghai, the organization, really treated me well, and they treated my family well, and did everything they could to make me feel comfortable. But at the same time, I was away from family a lot. And during that time, we had two kids during that stint in China. So to be able to manage that and be away from the family and not be there for the young parts of some of my kids' lives, was definitely hard. And they gave me the nickname Jimo Dashin, which meant the lonely master over there. And it kind of was very fitting in a couple different ways, right? I was kind of lonely over there because I was by myself, but they also said that it's not necessarily the meaning of lonely that they meant. What that means is like you're alone at the mountain up top by yourself, and no one can reach your level. So they're like, you're being the best, but also being lonely. So it was like a perfect nickname. So that's what we ran with, and that's what people call me over there.
Jimmer, let's we're going to wrap it up here in a couple minutes, but I want to show you a really funny picture. How about that?
Wow, look at
Me and
that.
you, I
That's
think you're a
fall.
junior in Glens Falls. I'm at Channel 10. I believe that's James Allen in the background. And
Wow.
I'm told you have that Fredette family has that picture framed in your house.
We do. We have that picture for sure somewhere in the house. I recognize it very well. My mom has about a million pictures in the house. So it's like there's so much stuff going on. But I remember that. If that was junior year, so that was you're interviewing me. You can tell that I'm mad right there. We just had really lost, I think, in the sectional finals right there, and we got our my award, but I was not happy with the result.
The result. Game. No. I mean, Jimmer, I can autograph for you if you want. You know what I mean? I don't know.
We got to get the autograph. That'll be the only memorabilia out there with Brian and Jimmer signed the same thing.
We should get that authenticated. That would be awesome. Before I let you go, Jimmer, we know that the Olympics are around the corner. Is this it for you? Is Jimmer Mania back? I mean, because look, millions of people watch the Olympics. It's going to get your name back out there. What's your future hold?
Yeah, you know, I honestly can't tell you yet. I could go in any different direction, to be honest with you. Like, there's a lot. I could keep playing. I could be done. I could go the coaching route. I could go all over the place, to be honest with you. It's such a, you know, I'll put so much into this next year and this last year and a half that we've had all the way up until the Olympics, right? Put so much into this, my time, my energy, focus, eating correctly, sleeping, like all the things that you need to in order to be the best at what you want to be, right? And then I know once the Olympics comes and we have it and we're done, I'm going to need at least a little bit of a break. And then at that point, we'll kind of see what happens, you know, but they're all things are on the table at this point. I couldn't tell you, but I'm really, really excited and focused on these Olympics coming up first. And then after that, you know, we'll see what I do. I still am not there yet.
You're not closing the door on any opportunity.
I'm not closing anything yet at this point.
Jimmer, last question. This is my final. How do you want to be remembered when people look back at Jimmer Fredette's basketball career? How do you want to be remembered?
The first thing for me is I want people to remember me as someone who treated people the right way. Whether it's the manager or a coach or a player or a teammate or a fan, that's the most that I want to be remembered for. Is I think that's the longest lasting legacy that you can have, is being a good person and making sure that you treated people the right way. And when I was in their presence, they felt like I was trying to uplift people that were there and have fun and enjoy the process, right? That's what I definitely want. And as a basketball player, I want them to remember me as someone who, you know, was a good teammate, but also a winner, you know, was out there to do anything to help the team win. And obviously, you know, can score the basketball and can score with the best of them.
Well, Jimmer, I want to thank you so much. We wish you lots of luck in the Olympics coming up. We'll be watching here as you're in Paris. And I really do appreciate you taking the time, because I know it's a huge task to get prepped for the Olympics, but I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Of course. No problem, Brian. Thanks for all you do. We appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care. That is Jimmer Fredette, of course, a Glens Falls legend, Section 2 legend, and now representing the USA in the Olympics. So thanks so much for watching Sound Off with Sinkoff. Again, sponsored by the Sinkoff Realty Group. Hope you have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you next time.